Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to bring some spirit into your life today. Dave, it's good to see you, my friend. How you been lately? I haven't had an opportunity to speak to you
much. I can hardly wait to get here today.
Yes.
Woke up saying, wow, it's a great day to be alive. We're going to the station.
Yep.
We're going to talk to our friends. And you've turned the dial our way. And oh, does that make us happy? We are thrilled to death to be a part of your day. Thanks for tuning our way. Giff, what do you got going today?
Hey, well, you know something? I want to talk about the rest time. You know, Jesus talked a lot about that. And I know some of our listeners are sitting there with pen and paper and they like to take notes. And that's good because I'm going to give you some scripture sightings again today. But what I want to talk about is that peaceful time, that relaxed time, that take a day off time. And I want to try to explain to our listeners, if I may, just how important that really is. And what does the Bible say about that? So let's take a look and see if Jesus didn't take some time to rest. Because, you know, fatigue can be extremely costly. One notable president of the United States knew this, and he absolutely refused to make any major decisions after 4 p.m. in the afternoon. He knew that a tired mind rarely makes good decisions. One bad decision can create countless tragedies. Now, let's face it, rest and recreation are not a sin. Rest time is repair time. It is not a loss of productivity. It is time for renewing. It is receiving time. It helps release your potential. You see, Jesus was an action man. He was a people person. He produced, he healed, he preached, and he taught. He walked among the people. But he also knew the necessity of rest and relaxation. Here's some scripture for you to check. Come ye yourselves apart into the desert place and rest a while. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Think about this. Daily, he faced hundreds of sick and afflicted people who were screaming for his attention. Many were demon-possessed. Mothers reached for him. Fathers asked him to pray for the children. Children did not want to leave his presence. But he separated himself to receive. He knew that he can only give away that which he possessed. Work time is giving. Rest time is receiving. You must have both. I want to say that sentence again, if I might. Work time is giving. Rest time is receiving. And you must have both. That's important to understand that. You see, God created the earth in 6 days, but he took the time to rest on the seventh day. He set an example for us. Jesus did the same thing. He was resting. He was taking a break. He understood the importance of separating himself. That might be the reason he was able to accomplish so much in 3.5 years. You know, life is demanding. People are demanding. And in fact, the more you succeed, the more people will demand of you. Let's face it, that's a reality. It is up to you to repair yourself. Work hard, but play just as enthusiastically. Schedule it if you have to. Take one day a week off completely. Totally relax. Focus on something completely different than your job. Your mind will think clearer, and you will make better decisions. You will see life through different eyes. You will accomplish far more in less time. Stop your frantic pushing for success. Take time to taste the present. The fire of desire will always rage within you, but you must dominate that rage and focus on it. learn from it. Where do you draw the line sometimes is a little difficult. David, you have some thoughts on that? Where do you draw the line on just how much rest time you take?
Well, I was in a group that traveled every day of the week. We went far. We traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles. We'd get home at 3 o'clock in the morning back to Harrisburg. Wow. When we left Bible college, we had traveled in cars. Mm-hmm. Cars are too small for me. Mm-hmm. My long legs got me in trouble right away. We went through 13 cars in 4 years, traveling every weekend all over the Midwest. When we got out of school, we picked a 98 Oldsmobile that one of our guys had, and he said we could use his car. Well, after the first month, he said, hey, guys, you're not using my car anymore. This is the end. It's not going to be worth anything when you give it back to me. So a good thing happened in the 60s. Gospel music singers found that cars were not going to be our future. And we found that the bus industry, there are a lot of old buses that were being sold cheap. And I remember we only paid $4,000 for our old bus that had a couple million miles on it. But we had 4 rooms that we could put in it. 7-foot room. We had 4 guys, 3 guys that were into singers, and one was the bus driver. Well, we found immediately when we went to bed, coming home, we could sleep. Man, we learned how to sleep in a bus. And we woke up ready to go. Judy used to say, you come in here at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you got all this to do today. How are you going to do all that? Aren't you too tired? I said, no, I've been sleeping. Well, we did that for a long time. Pretty soon that old bus, we had so many repairs on that old bus, and it was expensive, that we went to the bank, and I met the president, and I said, look, this is how much money we are spending on our old bus. We think that much money could buy a new one.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it looks good. We went right home and got on the phone and said, we want a brand new bus. They said, boy, you better have a lot of money. And it was about $100,000 we paid for our first bus. We ended up with 4 buses through our 25 years that I was there.
Yeah.
The first 25 years, we went through 4 buses. And the last one, I mean, we paid, what, $20,000 for our house, Judy and I? And then I came home and said, Judy, we're buying a bus, and it's going to cost us $125,000. She said, you mean that you are going to buy a $125,000 bus, and we're living in a $20,000 home? Something wrong with that picture. Well, there's been something wrong with that picture ever since.
but can understand what she was saying, yes.
We were learning how to rest because our schedule was hectic.
And
we had to be at the peak of our career and our game.
Every night, that's right. No excuses, every night.
We learned how to drive the bus. Everybody had to take 2-hour shifts. So after 3 guys had driven, they're 2 hours, 6 hours. It was my turn. Go on and get up here. It's your turn. And, man, we used to hide from each other so they would think we weren't there anymore. But I learned that the bus driver, we hired a bus driver then. Tom Baker came. Uh-huh. Friend that I grew up with. He's an old truck driver. And he came in, I'll help you guys. Yes, sir. Well, we had to teach him how to drive because the freight talked. And he drove a truck that had freight. He could, twist and turn, yells. All of a sudden, he came on our bus, and he pulled away from the deal. Come to the stop sign, paid the fee at the turnpike, and then scream at the lady. So I got up in the front seat, and I said, Tom, the freight talks on this.
You're going to have to quit that, huh?
I said, if you can't pull up to the place where you're going to pay the lady for the ticket and pull away without waking us up, you got a job. If you wake us up, you're finished. Man, I tell you, I was sound asleep. That bus just rolled up there to the stop. Pay the lady, we're quiet, and pull away. Man, I laid in bed laughing. I said, man, he's learned in 1 week how to do the job right. And he was a bus driver for a long time. Uh-huh. Took us everywhere. But he will never know that he kept us alive and on the road.
That's right.
rested.
Yes.
We get to the program, and we could roll through. We could roll through a giant of a night with tons of music and energy that we had to have. We would have never done that. That's why people who drive a car try to get to a program 4 or 5 hours to get there, and they're shot. They're exhausted. They have to sit down and rest. But here's the deal, Giff. When you get old, you can't do what you used to do.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
No matter how much rest you get.
You can't stay 30 years old forever. That's right. Yeah, I understand that.
So now I'm resting at home, mm-hmm. hoping that I can get to the station, make my broadcast, and get back to bed.
Yes. That's a good example of how important the rest is and to take a break. Let me give you another example, Dave. A story I used to use years ago in the classroom about taking a break. It's a story of two guys who would split wood for a living. They would cut down trees in the morning and they'd split them all up to split up the wood. And the one guy who would split wood, he would start early and he'd work through breaks and take only a quick lunch and take no afternoon breaks, didn't stop, and would work late every night. And the other gentleman started when he was supposed to start, took a morning break, took his regular lunchtime. Was rather carefree about it, took an afternoon break, and quitting time came, he went home. But the guy who was a hustler and he thought he was doing the right thing, starting early, never stopping, he could never cut near as much wood as the other guy. And he couldn't figure it out. I am so conscientious, I work hard, I really plow into it, and how is it that he takes all these breaks and he gets more wood chopped, cut, than I do every day? So finally he couldn't take it anymore. He asked him, he said, "Hey, you know, how is it? You know, I put in all this extra time. I start early, no breaks, quick lunch, work late, and you split more wood than me every day. How do you do it? What's your secret?" The gentleman looked at him and said very politely, "I take time to sharpen my axe."
Oh, yeah.
That's what Jesus is talking about in these scriptures when he's talking about rest. Take a break. Don't try to prove that you're Superman and you're going to do what nobody else can possibly do. Because the only thing you're going to do is hurt yourself. Work smart. Take a break. Take your time. Get the job done properly. It's always an old computer room saying we had, there's never enough time to do it right the first time, but there's always enough time to do it over. Take your time and get it right. That's what Jesus is talking about to his people. He's not trying to tell them to be lackadaisical about getting the job done. It's just take a break.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Sure, go ahead.
That might not be worth anything today, but you need to laugh once in a while. We were going to a church on Sunday night after Sunday morning service. It's going to take us all afternoon. And having 4 rooms in the bus where you could go in and go to sleep and close your door, and nobody bothered you. You had to knock on the door and say, "Hey, it's me." And so we were going down the highway on the turnpike, and we needed to get some food, some kind of sandwich or coffee or something. Stopped the bus. 3 of us got out. Dwayne was sound asleep, we thought. So we said, "Okay, let him sleep." We got out of the bus, got in, got our food, and come back out. Tom got in the driver's seat, and away we went. We drove all day, got to the service that night, and when we opened the door for the pastor to come in the bus, he said to us, "Dwayne called and said he'd be here on time." Dwayne, he was in his room, right? We run back in there and open up the door. Nothing, nobody in there. He had snuck into the restaurant and didn't see us, and we didn't see him. And he finally... He had to get there. It was a big church. And he found a state policeman who took him to the airport, I think 30, 40 miles away. And Dwayne got a rented car, drove fast, and beat us to the church.
I didn't know that's some story.
That's a little funny, but yes. Who else could do that? You have to be on the road and get yourself into predicaments that you don't know what to do with.
Yes.
But that's a story. I guess I have 1,000 of those stories. Mm-hmm. Just make you laugh and smile.
Yes.
It's just amazing. The next time you go to a gospel concert and you see all these buses sitting out there, walk around them, take a peek, and talk to the guys about their bus. They'll be happy to tell you. They might even be willing to show you inside.
Yeah, give you a little tour.
Everybody wanted to see inside the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, can I see your bus?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't say no.
Yeah, it's your living quarters, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Well, that's a fascinating story, and your point is well taken. Because you were kind of in a hurry, and you didn't really stop to check off attendance sheets here and count how many people were aboard, you just assumed he was, and off you go.
We did that. We didn't give away to do that. We put up little people made out of wood.
Yeah.
And when you left the bus, you took yourself.
You had to take it with you.
Yeah, and put it in your pocket. When you get on the bus, you examine
it. Put it back.
Up, see where it was. If Dwayne didn't have his up there, he said, hey, Dwayne's not here.
Yeah.
I still have those things in my home.
You still have them.
I still have them in my house somewhere.
And you did that as a result of this little accident you had there? Or did you have that implemented before and just dropped the ball?
Oh, no, we put that up after Dwayne.
After
we left him. I mean, okay. He came running out of the restaurant, waving his hands, and we were all going down the highway. We didn't care about Dwayne.
That is a funny story. I'm glad you took the time to share that story.
I hope so. Yeah, that's...
Well, let's move on here. I'm going to change gears. You're talking about all these things. Let's take time for some planning and plan for success, because that is something else that Jesus talked about an awful lot. And in fact, there's a lot of scripture about that. Champions of every facet of life always take time to plan. Planning was an important part of our life. Planning is a starting point for any dream or goal that we come up with. What is a plan? Well, a plan is a written list of arranged actions necessary to achieve your desired goal. Write the vision and make it plain upon the table that he may run that readeth it. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, where that is written just that way. Jesus planned your future. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. John chapter 14, verse 2. Think for a moment. God scheduled the birth, the crucifixion, the resurrection of his Son before the foundation of the earth. And all of that dwelled upon the earth shall worship him, those whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world. Revelations chapter 13, verse 8. You know, I think it is quite fascinating that God would schedule a meal, a marriage supper, 6,000 years ahead of time. Blessed are they which called upon the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelations chapter 19, verse 9. That's where it said that Jesus did just that.
If we don't miss very many meals. We don't miss very many meals.
That's right. None of us do.
Every one of us are at the table when the time comes.
That's right.
Yep. This fascinates me because there's coming the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know what that is, and they have no reservations. They're going to come to the day when the supper is said, okay. And then they're going to, what, who said that?
Yeah.
So we, as people who talk to all kinds of people who tuned our way, they're smiling, but the smile will leave you if you don't prepare for eating.
That's right.
With the Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's right.
I didn't want to preach, but you're preaching.
Yes,
so I'm telling funny stories, preaching. What a combination.
We talk about the philosophies and individual development and motivation and all these great things. I want our listeners to understand that all those real words come from the Scriptures. It isn't something that's man-made. The Scriptures tell us that. Moses, the great deliverer, look what he did. You know, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He took time to plan for the tabernacle. Your Bible is the plan of God for you, for the whole world, for that matter, for eternity. It is undeniable proof that God thinks ahead. Most of the Bible is prophecy, a description of the future before it ever occurs. Jesus taught, for which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it. Least happily after He hath laid on the foundation, and is not able to finish it. All that he beholds to begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first, and consulteth whether he'll be able with 10,000 to meet him when the cometh again with him with 20,000. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 31, where it says all that. The point is that they have to stop and plan for every major event of your life. And it's not just true today. It's been true for thousands of years. Make a list of things to do every day of your life. Write 6 things that you want to accomplish on that day. Focus your total attention on each task. Assign each task to a specific time. If you cannot plan events for 24 hours in your life, what makes you think you will be able to accomplish your desires for the next 24 years? Well, I guess that's a good way to look at it. We have to try to dissect this hour by hour. Think of each hour as an employee. Delegate a specific assignment to each hour. What do you think to accomplish? What do you want to accomplish between 7 and 9 a.m.? You know, or who should you speak to on the telephone during this time period? Write out your plan clearly on a sheet of paper. Successes are usually scheduled events. Failures are not. Planning is laborious. It is tedious. It is meticulous. It is grilling. It's demanding, and let's face it, it's exhausting. In my personal opinion, detailed planning is really never fun. But sometimes you just have to do something you hate to create something you love. Why do people avoid planning? Some avoid it because it's time-consuming. Oh, they're so busy. They're so busy mopping up the water, they don't take the time to turn off the faucet. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Even ants think ahead. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. Provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Hard for me to write it down sometimes, David. Our time is about gone. Do you have any final words you'd like to share with the listeners about planning ahead?
Nobody wants to write it down. Nobody wants to write 6 things you have to do. But when you get my age, you have to or you miss out. You hear it the next day. Why weren't you there? What?
Yeah.
Take the time. Don't get so busy you have a list so long. Get 3 or 4 things that you have to do and put them down. Don't forget them. Pray about them. The Lord will make it easy that day. Kiff and I, we prayed already for this service, hoping that it would be fun for you and educational and spiritual enough to bring you to your knees to say, Lord, I can't make it by myself. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Dave Colonin here and
Giff Briner saying bye-bye for now.
See you next time.